Going to just take, we're looking through Philippians, and as we go through Philippians, there is so much in this wonderful book, so much. And I was really planning on taking more verses this morning. I was looking at verses 12 through 20, but as the deeper I went into the verses, I thought, no, 12, 13, and 14 is going to stand alone. And we're going to look at those this morning. So if you have your Bibles and you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter, the first chapter, verses 12, 13, and 14. That's what we'll look at as we look at disappointments into appointments. Let's stand together and we'll read those three verses quickly this morning. Paul says, and by the way, Miss Doris, you kept saying these things about, I know. Paul's saying something he wants us to know. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. May God bless the reading of His Word, and to your hearing you can be seated. Let's pray together just for a moment, can we? Father, all we want, all we need is Jesus. He's all we need. That's all the comfort we receive. That's the answers to all of our questions. That's the strength when we're weak. Now, Father, we look into your word, these three verses. You speak to us by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you interpreting through our heart and through this stammering tongue what truth you might have us to hear today. We know that we go through many disappointments in life. We don't always see them as appointments. So, Father, you somehow speak to us. Help us to see that. And for the responses that we are to make, you offer them through your Holy Spirit. And it's all only in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The first few verses that we looked at, you know, we didn't meet last Sunday. Of course, we had the retreat, although we were in the Word. But still, last time we got together, we talked about the first portion of Philippians chapter 1 through these 11 verses. And you remember those verses were kind of Paul's greeting to the church of Philippi. Where is Paul writing this letter? He's in prison. And the pastor of the church in Philippi, Epaphroditus, brought him word from the church saying, we're so sorry you're going through this. We want to help you. What can we do? Here's some money, here's some food, whatever, you know, we care about you. It's been a long time since Paul had established that church in Philippi, but they recognized that he was in prison, and that because he was in prison, he needed some support system. Yes, there probably one that didn't need much support system, Paul the Apostle. He got all the support he needed from Jesus Christ. But you know what? Let me tell you something. As believers, it's as much for us to give as it is for those to receive. Sometimes we may look at a person and say, oh, they don't need anything. Look at the lot of the car they drive. Look at the house they live in. Look at the money they make and think they have no need. The issue is, you have as great a need, if not more of a need, to give than perhaps the one has to receive. Blessed is he who gives. So they were giving to Paul. They were concerned about it, and so sent word about that. And so Paul, in the last part of that of those verses, verses 1 through 11, Paul prayed for them. He just said, now, let me just lay some words out for you guys and pray for you as a church. And so he did. He said in verse 9, and I prayed this, and he went through that prayer. Now we go then to the second part of this chapter, these first three verses, where Paul says, now, I do really appreciate you bringing to me your concerns and your love for me. But I've got some things I want to tell you about.
Yeah.
He says, the disappointments you may experience, but you have to understand that this church who loved Paul and knew of his missionary journeys and how far he was going with the gospel, they found out he was in prison, and so what did they think? I guess the message is mute now. I guess he'll not be able to speak the gospel anymore. Paul, my goodness, he's got a muzzle on his mouth because he's in prison. Did prison ever stop Paul from preaching? No. It didn't. Even when he was in jail in Philippi, he led the prisoners, the jailer to the Lord. So Paul wants to make it clear to the believers in Philippi that no matter what I'm facing and what I'm going through, don't worry, the gospel is going to go forward. Can we say that in our own lives? That the difficulties that we face in life, the heartache that we experience, people that let you down, jobs that don't come through, issues that don't work out as you thought they would, how quickly do those things stop the gospel from your mouth? Here's what Paul is saying here. He's saying that the obstacles that I'm facing have provided for me opportunities with the gospel. Look at that verse number 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel. Well, who wouldn't think, like the church members, to think that Paul's been injured, he's been hurt, he's in prison, he's chained to a guard, and there was probably not but maybe 16 inches, perhaps, between him and that guard. And after that guard was through in a six-hour stint, another guard would take his place. And so there he was. And Paul wanted them to know, without question, that which you see has been a negative in my life, God has turned into a positive. Can I hear an amen to Romans 8:28? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Was Paul called? Yes, he was. Are you called? Yes, you are. Make no doubt about it. If you're a believer, you have been called. He told us in Acts 1:8, after which you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses, saying, you're called. You're called, and you might would like to say, well, I don't know, I like to leave that to someone who speaks better than I do. Or someone, you know, who is a preacher, perhaps, or can teach, or whatever. Sorry. There is now, you know, there are things that you can do with your telephone. You can opt out of certain programs and not receive contact from those folks again. I think it was a contact even this morning. Come over my phone, says now. Type in or put in stop if you don't want to receive any more of these. So guess what I did? Stop. And it acknowledged that. I opted out of those messages. Hey church, you can't opt out of God's call on your life when you became a believer. There's no option. Now, I know we can be cowardly about this whole thing. And we can, you know, we understand, we've heard the term that silence is golden, but no, we know as believers, silence is yellow. If we're quiet with the gospel message, we're cowardly about it. We don't have an option. Paul was saying, for those who have expressed their concern to him, he says, what has happened to me has moved the gospel further. The disappointments that you're seeing in my life have actually become appointments that God has given to me. So what Paul is trying to say to all of us today, what the Holy Spirit wants to interpret to our hearts is, when you go through a difficulty, see that not as a disappointment, but as an appointment. God, you've placed me here. What does he want me to do while I'm here? It may be a short stay. It may be a long stay. You may find that your children have gone awry. You may find your grandchildren are acting like they ought to act. And on and on and on, we can see all the negatives that may be in our lives. Stop. Pause a moment. Don't look at it as, oh my. It looks as though, obviously, God's not favoring my life anymore because of what's happened here. And so you become a victim of the circumstance that you're in. When God says all the time, Jackson Ridge, when you go through an issue that is a challenge to you, become not a victim, become a victor. Be on top of that circumstance and say, Lord, in what I'm going through, how can I see this as an appointment you've given me, a mission field you've provided for me, an opportunity for which I will express disappointments, but see that you're making me up, you're appointing me at such a time as this to speak your word, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through. Dave Trevecki, pitcher of Montreal and some others, went through a major pain in his shoulder, came to find out that he had cancer. Dramatic pitcher. I mean, awards upon awards. Went through treatment. Got well, started pitching again, found as he pitched the ball so fast his arm snapped. You know why? Because the cancer came back. When the cancer came back, they decided they were going to have to take not just his arm, but all the way to the shoulder off. What did Dave do? He saw it as an opportunity of giving a testimony for Christ. Can you imagine losing your entire livelihood? But what he decided to do was to teach and preach to folks who are going through limitations in your physical mobility and how you can turn that to an opportunity for Christ. And that the obstacles that you face, the challenges that we face, become not disappointments, but opportunities. This is an opportunity. Look at Paul's again. Now just imagine his mind. These folks are feeling sorry for him. They're feeling sad for him. He says, but now, I want you to know. The Greek word for that know is gnosko. He says, I want you to know by experience. He says, don't just take my word for it. Because he says, you're going to be going through some challenges in your own life, Paul is saying. And so I want you to know by experience, brothers, he's talking to believers here, brothers, that what has happened to me in prison, you know, Paul longed to go to Rome. He couldn't wait to go to Rome to preach. Man, I'm coming. You know, get ready, I'm coming. And he finally made it to Rome, but he made it to a Roman prison. You think, well, this didn't work out the way Paul wanted it to work out. Duh! Is it about how we think things should work out? No. It's about how God wants to work it out. And listen, Paul, by going to this Roman prison, being chained to this Praetorian guard, had as an end result an opportunity for the gospel to be furthered. Paul was simply saying, had I come here to preach as a preacher, I wouldn't have done nearly as much as I'm doing chained to this guard. I love it. He says, what has happened to me actually has resulted in the advancement of the gospel. The gospel has gone forward. How in the world did that take place? Well, he saw himself as a person who was not faced with obstacles, as he did, but opportunities. Now, that's not to say that we want to mess up life, okay, and cause problems so that God will make, you know, give us an opportunity, you know. No, we don't want to do that. We want to take what happens to us and recognize it as an opportunity God's given to us. Sometimes, things happen to you because it's God's will for you. It's called His permissive will. Sometimes things happen to you that it is just a bad circumstance. Okay? Now when we think of sickness and illness and diseases and all that sort of thing, so God put that on me. No, it's, no, God didn't put it on me. God allowed it to happen. Let me tell you something. Sickness and illness comes from the essence of our Adamic nature, from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, had no longer the protection of that garden. And so because of that, what happened to us? We were all bombarded by sin, but also illness and disease came as a result of that. So here's the deal. When something like that happens to you, a negative happens in your life, you see that as an opportunity for God. Say, God, this is your permissive will. You're allowed. God could have stopped it. Sure, he could have. He could have healed it the second had he chosen to. But the reason he didn't, he's giving you an opportunity. Do you see that? He's giving you an opportunity to worship him and to further advance the gospel. Now, when he talks about this in verse 1, he says the advancement, it's kind of a military term he's using here. It's where a group of soldiers are going to battle, and they have another group of soldiers who have gone, listen to this, this is important, who have gone before the troops, and they're clearing the way. I'm sure it happened. Anybody here serve in Nam? Okay. Those who served in Nam other places like that were with, they had to battle in great brush and forestry and so on. They would send a group to clear the way. They were chopping down trees and chopping so they could have the troops have a clear way through. This is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, this has happened to me so that I might advance the gospel. Paul says, I'm clearing the way for the gospel to go further than we ever imagined. By what he's going through, he's advancing the gospel. I wonder, can we say that what we're going through advances the gospel? Not if all we're doing is whining about it. Not if all we're doing is saying, oh, woe is me. We're not advancing the gospel. We may be advancing our way of getting sympathy from somebody. But when we look at it as an opportunity, the obstacle that's there, now I know you can say, and I realize that, and you've probably got some rights to say, well, Linda, you may say that, but you're not going through what I'm going through. And I'll say, you're right. I'm not going through what you're going through. But tomorrow I may be going through a lot worse than you're going through. So I'm trying to learn here. I'm trying to be taught here. That when the obstacles come to my life, see them as opportunities to advance the gospel for Christ. Then he goes over here in verse 13. Advance the gospel so that it might become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Because there had to have been a lot of confusion here. From the church? From the guards? I don't know. You know, you'd think that those guards wouldn't like the circumstance, but they had to be chained to old Paul and listen to his singing and listen to his preaching. Oh, but listen what happened. Paul, who's persistent with his method of the gospel, tells the story of what he'd been through, says that he is a Jew among Jews, educated man I am, and how he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and that this Praetorian guard is there spellbound by what Paul's saying. Tell me more. And so that this guard gives his heart to Christ, and he leaves after his 6 hours and goes, and Paul says, next! Can you see it? Come on, come into my office. I've got something I want to share with you. And so with this Praetorian guard who just left, guess what he's done? He's gone out and he's telling others about what this Paul has done. And so before you know it, the guards are saying, my turn! My turn! Lock me up with that bird. I've got to hear what he has to say. Because something was changed in old George here when he spent 6 hours with Paul. Because Paul says, so that it became known throughout the whole imperial guard, but not just among the imperial guard,
to everyone else. It was an overflow. You heard the term, my cup overflows, right in Psalm 23. Well, this is what was happening with Paul. His testimony was overflowing, and that it wasn't just touching these guards. It was touching their families and the shop owners and the tax collectors and everybody else, so that my imprisonment is justified. My imprisonment is right. My imprisonment is for Christ. That's what they're knowing. Next time you go through something that you can't handle, or that you're befuddled as to how this happened, stop and say, how can I turn this for Christ? How can something happen for Christ? John Bunyan, who preached the gospel, but because of his preaching, was imprisoned. You know what John did? He was preaching loudly while he was in prison. You know what the town did? They came to the jail to hear him. Not only were those that were in jail listening to John, not Paul Bunyan, he had the big ox, didn't he? Not only were the people that were in prison listening to John preach, but there were people, it was told to me that when I first came here, we've been here 3 years last month, but when I came here, I was told that there were gospel singers and people hanging in the windows here, listening to gospel music back in the day. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of what John was experiencing, as he was preaching in that prison, and the folks were just hanging around, just looking in the bars or whatever he was imprisoned with, hearing the gospel. And so they decided, we're going to put him down in the basement where nobody can hear him. So they put John down in the basement where he was, and guess what? He preached even louder. Out of that came his famous book, Pilgrim's Progress. I'm telling you, he saw an opportunity from what they thought was an obstacle to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was saying, in this, he said, it's become known to everyone. They've been hanging around this jail, looking in, listening to what I had to say. And I've been leading these guards one after the other. When's the last time that you stop in your tracks? I guarantee you will next time. When something negative happens in your life, I guarantee the Holy Spirit will remind you to ask yourself, Lord, is this an opportunity? Is this an appointment you're giving to me? I didn't get the card. I didn't get the email. I didn't get the text from you, Lord, that you were telling me that this is something I needed to do. Now you'll know when something comes your way that is not fun, that seems to be a challenge. You'll stop yourself and say, is this an opportunity so that I might, one, advance the gospel, but also, secondly, that I might somehow be able to clear up and give some clarity to the confusion as to people who talk to me and say, man, why are you going through this? Why are things happening this way to you? They're all confused about it. So you can clear it up and say, I'm going through this for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going through this for Christ. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know it, I'll remind you, you're not just going through it for Christ, you're going through it with Christ.
Amen.
He's right there alongside. Yes, he is. Well, we go to that last verse there that I really think is important for us because, he's been talking about the fact that the gospel has been furthered through the lost people around me. The jail and all those, the Praetorian guards and the people in town, okay? But now he talks about, in verse 14, most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. Paul is saying, what was man's intention to hush me up? To me quiet, to stop me from preaching what looked to be the intention of man was the momentum God had in Paul's life. God had Paul on a railway train moving as fast as he could. Everywhere Paul went, he was teaching and preaching the gospel. He said, well, yeah, but that's because he was a teacher and he was a preacher and he was a missionary and he was an apostle. And so we give all kinds of excuses as to what Paul was, as to why we can't do that. Yeah, but time to lay that aside. It's time to stop giving excuses as to why we don't in circumstances like Paul. Now, you probably will not anytime soon find yourself chained to a guard. You may be chained to an addiction. You may be chained to fear. You may be chained to anger. You may be chained to doubt. But I like to call Paul an ambassador with a chain. An ambassador with a chain. What's your chain? It doesn't have to be something that you cause, by no means. Your chain could be a lot of things. Could be an illness. Could be a circumstance within your family for which you have no control over. And that may seem like a chain. It could be an albatross around your neck. It could be someone holding you down that's steering your joy. And Paul is saying, don't let it happen. See it as an opportunity. What the devil wants to see and wants to happen is to make sure that everything you're doing, he's intending to stop the gospel. But you recognize that can't happen because of the momentum God has in my life. God's got me moving forward. God's got me going quickly. God has me excited about the gospel. And I will not stop. Martin Luther said that. I cannot be quiet. So, whether you find yourself chained or strained or pained, that's about all the rhymes I can give you there, in life. I know this is kind of a crash term that we use in a lot of other different circumstances. But when Satan gives you a lemon, make lemon. Do something with the circumstance that you have and become an overcomer. You know what Paul had? Paul had a vision. Paul had determination. Paul saw his calling. And it didn't stop him. The old man went off to the Philippians. He wanted the church to know, hey, I know you think that I have been hampered in my gospel, that a muzzle's been put on because of what I'm going through. Go back, Epaphroditus, and tell the church, I have not been silenced, nor should you as a church be silenced by your circumstance. Make what you see as disappointments in your life as appointments in God's calendar and in God's kingdom for you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for moments that we can see the victory that Paul had in his life. And see that as a directive for us. It's teaching that we need, we long for. It's a lesson that we need to remember in life. So we rely on the Holy Spirit to be the rememberer for us, the reminder. So Lord, I pray that as we think about this passage of positive strength and victory from Paul, that we know that in our own circumstances, when negative raises its hand, and we realize that there is the counsel of stop, go no more with the gospel, that we'll see that as an opportunity. We'll see that as an appointment from you.
to take the gospel, take the witness, take the joy that is ours, and spread it to whatever it is we're chained to. No, let it go much further than that. Get victory in every heart as decisions are made and commitments are made. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.